Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
It starts with you, but when do the players have to start with him? So, I mean, you can only do so much. What is it on the players?
I mean, look, it's all look, once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them. There's nothing any coach can do for them once they cross the white line. It's my job to continue to prepare not only them, but our coaches to go out here and play better football.
Andy, I feel like I have been riding a familiar and uncomfortable wave for the past week plus. And, of course, that was Gerard Mayo in the postgame presser today at Hard Rock Stadium following the Patriots 34-15, what would you call it? Whooping?
Oh, yeah.
Desolation?
Mollywhopping.
Mollywhopping. Destruction. Mm. Just manhandling,
crappy football,
I guess.
Gaming.
Ugh. No showing. Whatever it was not a good football game. And trust me, it was not that close. If you happened to tune out, a lot of you probably did. As Andy was saying, he got a lot of text messages from friends saying, that's it, I'm out. Maybe I'll tune in next week. I'm done. See you next year. I was going to say earlier as well, this was probably the most my phone has blown up in a game since the football was fun around here back during the old playoff days. And it's mostly just because people couldn't believe how badly, how poorly, how rancidly they played, and how disorganized they seem, and how unprepared they are. And that's why we come back with that soundbite from Gerard Mayo. He says, once they cross the line, I can't do anything for them. Like, Gerard, you can yell at him. Like,
yeah.
He just sits there. So he's so stoic on the sideline. If that's one of his choices for his approach and demeanor with the team, then he would make Matt Eberflus look like Jim Carrey at this point. Like, do something, Gerard. I don't know. But your team is not responding. Show some spark. Get mad. Yell at him. He showed more animation in that goofy video from week two when he tricked everyone in the, got him. Made him think like a bird was going to crash into him before that video, which now is just not aging well at all.
No.
He showed more energy and enthusiasm in that clip from the Seattle game, the home opener, than he has on the sideline with his football team. And Andy, I got to say, I didn't bother getting into it with fans online about this one today. I thought the challenge on the Jalen Waddle catch, which, by the way, was not a catch in any world, unless, of course, we have redefined. What's that?
I thought it was a catch. I agree with the refs. I thought his hand was under it. It can move as long as the hand's under it.
All right. I mean, if we're redefining catch to mean you can use
penalty.
You can use the that, yes, that's the whole point. Whether or not you thought that Jalen Waddle catch was a catch or not, whether it involved hands or the turf or both, you don't need to throw the challenge flag there because you were guilty of defensive holding. So they're going to get 10 yards or they're going to get 17 yards. Any which way. And then you could blow the challenge flag, which he did. I feel like he's overmatched at this point. Gerard Mayo.
Let's go down this road because I get a lot of tweets. I got a lot of.
All right.
It feels like the general consensus, if you use social media, some callers, those types of things as a barometer and thermometer, is there are a lot of people that think he's in over his head and should be fired. Do you think that's even a possibility, a consideration, or an option?
I think, is he in over his head? I absolutely believe he is at this point. And do I think that he could, lose his job?
Yeah.
If the Patriots continue to go down this road, Andy, Drake May like basically goes into like, he flatlines or goes into like developmental stasis and doesn't like continue to improve because of how bad the talent is around him and how outmatched the coaching looks. There could be a chance where Robert Kraft says, maybe he is, but I did him dirty. I did him a disservice, and I don't think he's going to be a good head coach with what I did around him, and I don't know if I can fix the problems. So maybe he just does a lump sum overhaul. But there's a very good chance.
Is that a it's not you, it's me breakup?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. But I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think the organization would want to pay two coaches at the same time or three coaches if they would have to continue paying Belichick and pay Mayo and
Belichick's
pay whoever
done.
Else. Is that it?
Belichick's just this year. It was a two-year deal.
It was
By all accounts. I've never seen the contract, but that's
right.
What it was.
No one will ever see the contract, but I know.
So that will be off the books. You'd have Mayo probably for at least two more years. I got to think he got at least a three-year deal, if not more than that.
My guess is a four-year deal, but will he be back? Yes. Is there a slight chance he could get relieved of duties? Maybe, but again, like I said last week on the postgame show, I said this week on the radio, maybe you said it on the afternoon show, I'm going to say it again here on this postgame show. They screwed him so badly by not giving him more well-schooled, well-heeled, experienced people by his side, in his ear, and all throughout the coaching staff. You can't have a 34-year-old defensive line coach turned defensive coordinator, a 38-year-old head coach who's never done it before, a 41-year-old general manager who's never done it before, a guy that played quarterback and has been like an assistant offensive coordinator who seems to have a slightly outdated scheme as your offensive coordinator. The quarterback's coach has at least done this before, but he's on the younger side as well. New special teams coach, first-time wide receiver coach. It's just the whole – it's – What was everyone thinking at large when they put this all together? I'm gonna put that one in your ear and go back to the calls because they are jam packed right now. And are we here for nothing else, Andy, to give the good people of Pat's Nation a chance to vent?
Indeed, we're their
therapists.
All right,
there he is. Somehow he's always in the car. This guy is always on the move. Here's David. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good evening, guys. So, can we stop kidding ourselves about the Patriots, about Drake May, how good he is, how good his team potentially can be, how Drake May is going to drive? This team stinks. It's just terrible. There's nothing to praise about this kid or anybody on this team. Nothing.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't like anything about Drake May?
No, because you know what? Wow. Until he puts up the numbers that Mac Jones did the first rookie year, he's not as good. You guys need to stop.
Wait, Mac do you watch games or do you just check stat sheets and things like that?
No, I watch the games and okay. I go to the games, the home games. This is the problem.
So you don't think he's more talented than Mac Jones?
He's not showing it. Because, you know,
I don't care
how
about,
can
like,
you go four quarters? Okay, but let me ask you this. Three quarters, you don't score anything, and then in the fourth quarter, you score 15 points, and all of a sudden, did you guys look at his stats the first game, the first half, I mean? Did you look at his numbers?
Yeah, they were ghastly.
How can that be?
Well, did you see the offensive line that every time he did anything had a penalty? He had guys lining up a full yard over the ball. He was at 3rd and 16 every time he had the ball.
I'm not saying the kid doesn't have talent. He has talent. But the problem is I think we're overpraising him like he's the next Tom Brady. He is far, far from being anyway in the same conversation.
Well, of course, David, he does not belong in the same.
He's
David, he does
goat.
Not belong this, and I appreciate the call. Thanks.
And he's nothing like him. That's the other, I've never heard that comparison. All I've heard is like the Josh Allen. He's been compared to young playmaking quarterbacks who've never won a damn thing. That's literally who he's compared to: Justin Herbert and Josh Allen.
Would Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, or John Elway be able to take this bag of bones of a team, of a roster, of an organization, and drag their ass to the playoffs? I doubt it. This kid is doing. This isn't even just like an episode of Chopped where they put a bunch of like garbage ingredients in a box and said, try to make us a four-course fine dining, like we're eating at like Jean Georges.
Like Donkey Dong. What the hell do I make with Donkey Dong?
No, it's like fish bones, fireworks, like a pack of bazooka, and like there's flies coming out of the box.
And then you get that real arrogant person that's like, oh, I've actually worked with fish bones before. This is going to be fun.
Yes. I don't know if people know, but there's a certain sweetness you can extract from these if you do a reverse boil.
Inverse salination with a bit of wine.
Come on, David. You're a regular caller here on the network.
He was angry, though, and I don't blame him. And I think that was an emotional call that he'll look back on and be like, okay, he's got some talent. Because
maybe he'll call your show or mine tomorrow and be like, you know, my bad.
Right. But to say that he has no talent and he's done nothing, like, he has obvious talent. The one thing I agree with David is, though, I've said this all week, and it actually stunned my buddy host one Arcand on the afternoon show.
I was absolutely bomb blasted by this.
The hype has gotten way ahead of itself. Like, the national hype and all these people anointing and, like, Dan Orlovsky, like, oh, my God, it was I had to really put, you know, hold myself back from putting him number one overall in my redraft and everything. Like, he does lose games and he does turn the ball over a lot. And for a guy that those are his characteristics, to be universally adored is weird.
He's 22.
He's feeling 22.
He only played 2 years in college ball. You heard Mac Brown yesterday in the postgame show between BC and UNC. By the way, I think BC could have beat the Patriots today.
Praising him and saying, the Patriots.
God. Praising Drake May as well. Like, we see The raw tools are there. Go back and watch highlights of 2018 and first half of 2019, Josh Allen, before Brian Daboll was really able to get into him and then ultimately surround him with legitimate NFL-grade talent. Go back and watch early John Elway as well. We've made this mention so many times, Andy, but it bears repeating again. The 30 turnovers or 28 picks or whatever it was from Peyton Manning, his rookie year. Did everyone say, what a bust? Go back to the massage table in Tennessee, you fraud. No.
Jesus.
That's a cheap shot. I apologize.
Yeah,
no, I don't.
Very cheap shot.
Ah, well, whatever. I like Peyton Manning, actually. That's
I can tell.
Thing. Yeah. No, I do, actually.
Bringing up
I,
some
I,
of the darkest times of his life.
Well, I'm imagining somebody.
Hate to see what you do to somebody you didn't like.
A Pats fan from, you know.
We're talking about our idiot kicker.
Getting all, we're having some protection problems out there today. All right, one more call before the break. Oh, God, is everyone in the car? Mark, are you in the same car with David? And if so, slap some sense into him.
Well, I just hit him upside the head for you guys, so I think we've got that sense into him. But, you know, another Patriots week, another Patriots loss. I couldn't be happier, obviously, because of the draft picks, but I just think it's great that we're shining a spotlight on how absolutely horrible this offensive and defensive coaching staff is. And I hope it brings us into the offseason where the Crafts look at themselves in the mirror and say that we screwed up and that we reinstall some veteran guys and score high in the draft and see if we can turn around next year. But I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah, well.
Thanks for the call, Mark.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Appreciate it.
So along those lines, a question I would ask, since we're having some really big picture painful conversations here, which I don't love to have, talking about people losing their jobs, but if the Crafts change just one, if you could have them look in the mirror, as the caller said, and change just one thing this offseason, would you change the head coach or would you change the executive vice president or player personnel?
Would I change the head coach or the executive? I would change. Can I be honest? If
no,
I had to, if
no,
we're going to do.
It's not both. If you say both, I'm going to come through the screen and beat your ass.
No, 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 no. I said I'm going to be. Well, okay. I mean, if you can do that, then that's some Electric Dreams, you know.
I'm pretty impressive.
Matrix level ish.
Yeah.
No, if I could, if I could go back in time and I could redo one or the other, I would redo the coach.
That's funny. I would redo the general manager.
Huh. How about that? Maybe we should do a post-game show together.
And it's weird because I think we're both right in a really negative way.
Well, then maybe then both was possible. Look, Gerard Mayo understands football. He, like, I get it. He was really great when he played it. He might be a great coach one day soon. And I'm not just completely casting all judgment on this guy right now. But you can just tell he is, like, silently treading water or just thinking. I mean, like, somebody even made mention there was a whole big, you know, rhubarb on Twitter when Gerard Mayo actually challenged that call because he was just arms crossed staring at the field. And then it was probably Evan Rothstein or someone. Captain, coach, this is someone in your ear right now. Challenge that call. Oh, okay. And then he just lobs the flag on the like. Where's the take it? You know, I wanted Vrabel. I was not shy about that at all.
Well, you'll get him on Monday night on the Manning cast. He'll be available. He'll be talking into your TV screen.
Well, maybe we're going to have to tweet at him and say, what do, you know, how would you do things differently?
Please,
if you
please,
were...
please, please, please come to New England. Please, please, please.
I just. Sometimes, Andy, a lot, you know, like, okay, Joe Mazzulla,
yeah,
talked about the other night when when the Celtics were playing terribly against the Wizards, and they ultimately win the game by 12. The Tatum and Brown couldn't buy a three-pointer if they sold it at the concession stand. And he purposely got a technical so he could rile them up. Mm-hmm. And he said, I did that for an emotional tone change. Celtics go on a 12-4 run right after that because they get pissed about their coach getting rung up on a tee, and they get fired up. And guess what? They go on a 12-4 run. They pull ahead, and they win a game.
They have talent.
I know, but sometimes...
Gerard Mayo is at a gunfight with a knife. He doesn't even have a knife.
He's at a spoon. He's at a gunfight with a light-up...
spork.
With a candy necklace.
Jesus.
So again, that's why we reserve a little judgment and don't go full bore with, like, I'm never going to retweet anyone that's like, fire Mayo, get him out of here. Oh, this is awful. But at the same time, he does look in over his head now, which leads me back to, I think they did a massive disservice, same way they're doing a disservice for a lot of the other players, and especially Drake May, with the talent level that they have on this team. They did Gerard Mayo a disservice by not giving him a better support system to learn how to play head coach in the NFL. One more call. I don't care. Oh, we're late for break. It's fine.
Yeah. We're giving
people a chance. Let's go to the South Shore. Paul's in Quincy. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Paul.
Gentlemen, how are you? Look, the offensive line is bad, but I've always been a deep end fan. 2 weeks in a row, this team has given up 4 passing touchdowns. Okay, 23 first downs. The formula's out how to beat this team. Throw the football. You know what I mean? And you look at their 5 games coming up. 4 of them have really good quarterbacks. And I'm going to lay some blame on the Crafts here. You've got more money than any other team out there, and they're holding it in the bank. Spend some money next year. Yeah, draft well, but even if you're going to overpay somebody, both on offense and defense, because, I mean, this is bad. You give up 4 touchdowns 4 weeks in a row and 23 first downs. And from a defensive head coach, that's a disgrace. So have a good night.
Thanks, Paul. There are no lies detected in your call. Yeah, that's a great. Thank you for the call, Paul. Appreciate you. Andy, God, I wish I was in Quincy right now just enjoying a Bobby Orr sandwich with some of those signature seasoned fries and an ice cold beer at the Fours, watching the 4 o'clock game, not having to think about what a toilet fire that game was. 2 weeks in a row, they've given up 4 touchdowns.
Well, 2 weeks in a row. Remember the 9 sacks in Chicago when people were like, oh, the pass rush, the defense, DeMarcus Covington. And I was like, I think that might be more about the Bears and Caleb Williams than you think. 2 weeks in, their pass rush today was non-existent.
It's been non-existent. Nothing. They can't manufacture
nope.
or
nothing.
There was 1 sack, and that was kind of a coverage sack that Christian Barmore basically cleaned right. up on, right?
There was the Barmore, and then there was that real late Brendan Schooler backside chase down play. But
do they miss Dietrich Wise that much on the line?
They certainly miss him. I don't know if it's that much. I don't know if he would make that much of a difference, but they have no pass rush. We continue to see Marcus Jones is, you know, at times competitive, but at times picked on. Christian Gonzalez can't do it all. You know, I kind of mocked jokingly this week, hey, the other team has 2 obvious number one receivers. At least only one of them is beating you this week, not both of them. Like, Waddle was the guy making all the plays in this one, so I guess that's improvement. But, yeah, I would throw all over this team, too, because so far they, in recent weeks, haven't been shown the ability to stop it. Just came to me.
Yes.
I got a tease for you.
All right.
A name you haven't heard that the Patriots should trade for and sign to a massive contract this offseason.
Now, that's one I want to pay off on the other side. Boy, howdy. 617-779-7937. Andy will somehow sift through the wreckage and find 3 positives from today's game in the Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down segment later on in the program. Shine will call in with the Drake May report card. We'll have the Cars for Kids player of the game and so much more here on the Six Rings Post. We'll also go through our favorites in social media. There's a ton coming up on the show, and it's all brought to you by our friends at McFarlane Energy. And I have a live read right here in front of me, or rather just some copy. That's what they call it in the biz. Don't want to take you guys too inside radio here, but a lot of moving parts. Yes, the Six Rings Postgame Show is brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services. You can find it all and more at McFarlandEnergy.com. And if you want to find some sports scores, trending sports news, and information, then all you got to do is turn to the great, mighty, and powerful Joe Braverman.
I think the penalties just hurt us. I think it hurt us kind of all the whole first half. Just hurting ourselves. I feel like we had a chance to move the ball on these guys, and they're pretty good up front, and they're a good defense that we faced. Just and nothing that they did, I think just penalties set us back and kind of put us behind the eight ball. And you can't do that. You know, in this league.
A disappointed, if not disconsolate, Drake May at his postgame presser today following the Patriots' non-competitive effort against the Miami Dolphins, although Gerard Mayo did say he saw some fight and some real compete from the team in the second half. Yeah, I saw some effort, a little energy, not the right kind of, maybe even a decent attitude as well, but no results. This is a results-oriented business, Andy, and the Patriots are not getting anything near the desired results. When was it that they cut away to Robert Kraft in the owner's box, and he was saying something very emphatically to Jonathan Kraft? Was it
that was after the touchdown.
It was after May's miracle touchdown on 4th and 15, running to his right and somehow throwing a dime to Hooper. Hoopa. 50 yards downfield. Hoopa. That's what your kid can do. That's what this guy is capable of. I don't understand how anyone would possibly say, like, he stinks or this kid's not ready for prime time. Or no, they're doing him a disservice with everything they surrounded him with. It's just, I know when you're a last place team and you're picking in the top 3 in the draft, you're going to stink next year as well. But they don't need to stink like this.
Well, and I'll get back to
you can stink execution-wise. You had Austin Hooper. Well, let's bring him up for a minute. He lined up like a yard over the line of scrimmage. I mean, I don't even know. Like, you're doing the right thing.
It's like a 10-year veteran.
Palm, hand, like, that's the right thing. I mean, you'd do that if it was your flag football team. A bunch of elementary school kids, you would do that. Because you'd say, well, you know, guys, we've been doing this for 8 weeks now. Every Saturday we come out here. You know the basics. You're, like, that's how you would feel. This
you have
is
a microphone on my field this year?
10-year veteran on an NFL field. He didn't just look down and be like, huh, why is everybody else so far back? This is weird.
My foot goes here. I'm on the like, same line with everybody else.
It's so weird. Like, it I just, don't. And like, so, because you're right. You're a bad team with a bad roster, but you're compounding your inability to compete by just sucking pre-snap, by being an idiot, undisciplined, poorly coached, whatever that is. But I don't know. I just don't know anymore. And I don't know who to blame and who to axe, and because that's where everybody's going. Like, there's your guy, Bill Simmons, is bitching about everything. It's the Crafts, and they're cheap, and they could have done this.
He went, that was borderline a Twitter storm from him today. Like, yeah. He's had it.
He's a bit bitchy. He's a bit bitchy for my liking. Talk about a spoiled, entitled Patriots fan. That's him. That's him right there.
You
spoiled,
really think so? Entitled, but what if he knows a few more things than we know, and he like just
like what?
Maybe he's, huh?
He wanted DJ Humphries. Okay, maybe you could have got him. Who knows? I don't think he would have come here. I think he's going to a team.
What if you offered him three times as much money? Does he want? Does
that be
go
stupid? So now we're just going to overpay to get some injured JAG offensive lineman who was once.
Don't
good?
You have to? I mean, what would you rather, him or Demontre Jacobs?
Probably Demontre Jacobs. Like, you just said it. You're a bad team that picked in the top three. And you know what I would rather? That you had drafted somebody that could contribute, or you know, put somebody
Jalen
in place.
Polk. Why do you want Ladd McConkey when we could have Jalen Polk and Javon Baker?
You and your Ladd McConkey.
I'm not. You can never. You will never talk, push, shout me down from that hill ever.
I think it's Jag McConkey. What?
Andy, no. I'm sad McConkey, okay? And no, he's not just the latest fad McConkey either. He's really good at football, and we don't have a lot of those guys.
How about DeMario Douglas not really
he's non-factor?
Really developing into what
no,
I
he's not.
He
he's
was.
Regressing, if anything.
Yeah, and he and... Last week, I don't think they were on the same page because I think he was wrong. This
week he didn't even bring the book.
Yeah, no, I don't know what's going on there, but this is a slow development in that process, too. That's one where you'd like to think, okay, I have two people. I have my slot receiver and I have my quarterback, and they're starting to build something together, but not even that is developing. It's kind of sad.
There is no favorite receiver. There's no chemist. Well, I want to hear
Booty.
From you.
Oh, how about Booty? He pushes off. Offensive pass interference, but then falls down and the ball just sails over his head. Yeah, I know it wouldn't have counted because
so
it's
impressive,
but like it's cue the circus music. So many times I just hear in my head, do with these.
Yeah, do you hear?
Yeah,
what do you
play.
Hear? I'm not sure if I hear circus music, the Benny Hill theme, or the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme when I watch
you know,
Patriots highlights.
Interchange it. There's enough options to use it. You can play them in a rotation.
There's enough lights you can.
Absolutely.
DJ, put them all in queue. I want to get to your plan that you teased just before the break in a minute, but back to the calls we go. We're all over the place today, not just in terms of dialogue and analysis, but also the good people of Pats Nation tuning in on the Odyssey app to check out the Six Rings postgame show and vent their Foxborough frustrations. Let's go all the way down to Georgia now. Big Al is on the line. Hi, Big Al. How are you?
Good afternoon, boys. You know, honestly, I don't know what anybody expects Gerard Mayo to say at these press conferences. I mean, you know, obviously the team is lousy. He can't stand up there and say the team is lousy, but they are. And, you know, I think he's about two more of these games away from going the full Marshawn Lynch, okay? I'm only here so I don't get fined, okay? What else can the man say? The team is bad. The entire offensive line needs to be set adrift. Okay, these guys are awful across the board. Scott Zolak today, 75, get rid of him. You know, just get rid of him. Get him off the field. He can't play. So, look, I think next year, I don't know how many draft picks we have. But to me, it all starts and stops with that offensive line. And I don't know how many picks we have, but the first six picks, we would not be insane to make the first six picks be five offensive linemen and a tight end that can block. Because this kid at quarterback is going nowhere without protection. And he is scared to death back there. You can just tell he is. And we got a big time project in front of him to fix. Beyond that, what else do you expect anybody to say? They can't say that. So they have to say all the coach speak and quarterback speak that you would expect to be said under circumstances like this. Have a great day, fellas.
Thanks for the call, Big Al. In answer to Al's question, first and foremost, as of now, and I believe compensatory picks have not been announced yet, Andy, correct? So there could be some more third and fourth round picks added to this. The baseline for the New England Patriots headed into the 2025 draft would be 9 picks, Mrs. Bueller. 9. Yep. 1 in the first, 1 in the second, 2 in the third, 1 in the fourth, 1 in the fifth, 3 in the seventh.
Ooh, so there are your 3 seventh round picks. Nice.
Yeah, I think I'll get the next Brock Purdy.
Big Al's not, I mean, he's exaggerating a little bit, but because you didn't take any steps forward, seemingly, with the offensive line rebuild last year, either in the offseason of free agency or in the draft, Laden Robinson, maybe, I guess. Some people seem to still
hold
out hope.
But he's not playing.
No, you're right. And Caden Wallace, I don't know, whatever he is, but you haven't shown that you took any steps forward. That's the problem. Now you still have all those holes to fill. You have David Andrews a year older. You do have Mike Onwenu. You got one. And maybe Cole Strange is your center of the future. I don't know. I thought it was supposed to be Jake Andrews. He gone. Like, I don't even know what is going on.
He was out for the year. He's been a non-factor since they drafted him last year. How about Antonio Maffi?
Nope.
City, so what do you do around here?
Yep.
I mean, really?
Nope, but yep.
Yeah,
okay. You do. You get me.
Before we go back to the phones, Andy, pay off that tease. What is the new Andy Hart pipe dream?
We were talking about the lack of a pass rush, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how that is becoming problematic for this defense as a whole. They're now picking on corners. Now, I do think the cornerback position is going to be a position of need moving forward. I said that all offseason, and people told me I was crazy, that this was really good cornerbacks. And, well, now everybody agrees that cornerback's a position of need. Micah Parsons, heading into his fifth-year option, the Dallas Cowboys are having major cap problems. His cap number jumps to $21 million. He does not have his long-term extension because they gave long-term extensions to Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and other guys. Dexter Lawrence is making a boatload of money. Diggs is making a boatload. I don't know if they can afford Micah Parsons. Swoop on in and trade for Micah Parsons and give him a $100 million contract. Add him to the front of that defense, and you'd actually have a player that could make other guys better. He would make Keon White better. He would make Christian Barmore better. He would make Dietrich Wise better. Micah Parsons, use a draft pick somewhere, do figure it out, pay him, and go get him. What do you think?
That would require multiple draft picks to get Micah Parsons. And I already thought you wanted to use multiple draft picks to trade for Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're... Schefter seems very adamant. They're keeping Chase, and they're just going to... T. Higgins is a free agent. So
yeah, they'll just let
that's,
him go.
But that's the beauty. I can sign T. Higgins, big contract.
Mm-hmm.
I can trade... Hopefully no one else goes higher, but I can trade the second round pick and something else, which would be maybe the 34th pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
For Micah Parsons, give him $100 million. I just added T. Higgins, Micah Parsons, and a first-round pick in the top of the draft. Maybe Will Campbell, maybe not. I don't know. Figure it out. Does that sound better?
It certainly does sound better. I think it's going to cost at least a first-round draft pick to get Micah Parsons because he's a proven disruptor and pass rusher.
I'll give him a future first.
Oh, yeah?
2026 first-round pick. Because if I pull this all together right, that pick is going to be like around 20. How you like them apples?
BCS, best case scenario. 617-779-7937 is the number. More of your calls, more of Andy's wild dreams, more analysis from the game. Shime with the Drake May report card. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Cars for Kids, player of the game. It is all coming to you on the Six Rings postgame show. Spot to you by our friends at McFarland Energy, only here on WEEI.
I mean, they came out and, you know, like I said earlier, they hit their goals, do what they had to do. I mean, you know, we don't ever want the game not to be competitive. You know, we always strive to, you know, make the game competitive. And you know, it wasn't today, but that's not going to, you know, this is a game. It's not going to affect how we finish out the season. You know, we still got 5 more games that we're able to, you know, go out there, compete, and do what we got to do as a defense.
You know, I appreciate Christian Gonzalez's very plaintive, understated manner when it comes to something like being a cornerback, where he can be emotionless. He can just flush one play, move on to the next one. That's great that he doesn't seem to get easily rattled, and he's kind of, you know, has a very flat baseline. But when it comes to the rest of the five games left, yay. If they're going to be as exciting as today's game, can't wait. The Razors should be lit next Sunday. Colts, Pats, how much? You guys paying us to? Anyway, yeah. But also, like, you're not going to let today affect the rest. But let me go to this. I just read a tweet a few minutes ago from our friend Andrew Callahan over at the Boston Herald. He was there in the locker room postgame, Andy, and shared the following. Sure would be nice if it would load quicker. Come on, Musk. All right.
Elon Musk? You have Starlink?
He owns Twitter. Majority owner. That was one of the lighter Patriots locker rooms after a bad loss I can remember. Not a happy locker room, but more players smiling and joking than normal to say it felt at least accepting of the blowout and their reality at 3-9. So what does that mean? Have they just steered into this? Or are they just like, we'll get them
next
year?
They were in the denial phase.
Yeah, what? No, Andy, like, I know that is not going to go over well on radio this week. It's not going to go over well with you. It's not going to go over well with most Pats fans that are frustrated by the product. And it's not like they just started stinking this year either.
Well, I mean, it's a long year, and I think at this point they've accepted losing. And whether you hate that, whether that does long-term damage, you know, I know there's people, you got to win games because winning is a culture and those various things. The reality is they're 3-9. They are not a good football team. They're playing poorly. If that is the case, that's not great. I do think they still kind of fought to the finish today. I think they were overmatched. Now, I didn't think they really scored. The credit for the score goes to the Dolphins, right? Like, Mike McDaniel put his backup quarterback in. They couldn't execute a handoff, and you got a cheap scoop and score touchdown. You didn't really do anything to earn that touchdown. That's weird. I'll be interested to see. Be interested to hear what Evan Lazar has to say about the postgame locker room. He of the teetering on a mutiny from the time in San Francisco earlier this year. It'd be interesting to hear what he hears. He has to say about that locker room and some others. But yeah, it's not. I can't imagine that's going to be well received by the head coach, and certainly not going to be well received by fans.
Yeah, no. The replies to Mr. Callahan's tweet are interesting, to say the least. People are not terribly happy with the head coach. He just continued, like, you know, oh man, but the vibes, and great, another vacation. They know the coach isn't going to hold them. See, there's this feeling, Andy, that is now developing. God, Pat's Twitter is now certainly it's brutal.
It's negative.
It's bad. It's really like
there's toxic
people
celebrating
place.
Cinco de Mayo because there's five games left till they fire Gerard Mayo. That's not nice.
Come on now. That's not nice. That is absolutely not nice. But
there's five games left till we can stop watching this crappy football team. So that's worthy of a celebration.
But, you know, everyone's taking it out on Mayo. Everyone believes there was like a, you know, the basic, you know, you've got all the people that are angry about Belichick's departure, that it was some sort of like conspiratorial coup d'etat that was run by the Krafts and Mayo together to get rid of Bill and to expedite the urgency of Mayo's hiring. Like, it's just,
I think Elliot Wolf is skating. I think he's absolutely skating. I don't understand how
Mayo?
No, Wolf is skating. Like, to me, the fire chance should be fire Wolf. This team is putrid. He drafted two receivers in the first four rounds, one in the second round. They're useless. They are blanks on a bull, as people in my family used to say. Why are people not more upset at Elliot Wolf? I get the anger at Mayo because he's on your TV screen. You have to see him. They cut to him. He challenges. He talks at the podium post game. But I think Elliot Wolf is skating here. To me, it's at very least should be 50-50 hate, criticism, anger. Elliot
Wolf.
Would
people feel this way about Gerard Mayo if the team was 6-7, not 5-7?
No. What do you mean?
A few weeks ago, I feel like, would there still be all this ranting and raving about the way things finished for Belichick and the way things are going now if the team was a little bit better?
Yeah, I don't really get the whole Belichick thing. You can have two truths. Belichick needed to go, and the guy you replaced him with can be wrong. Like, those can both be accurate.
I could concur with that, and it's not because Bill Belichick was the worst coach in the NFL or Bill Belichick didn't deserve
I think he might have been the worst coach in the NFL of late because of all the bad moves he made. Coaching staff moves, not talking to his quarterback, not talking to his assistant coaches. Like, I think there were some severe, severe issues in Foxborough over the last couple of years with Bill Belichick. But just because Mayo may be in over his head doesn't mean Bill would be doing better, or Bill should have stayed, or Bill shouldn't have lost his job. I don't know why people connect those two dots. They are not directly connected. You may have gotten rid of the guy and replaced him with the wrong guy. It happens a lot. Happens a lot in a lot of industries, all over industries. You get rid of somebody who's been there a long time because it was time. He had to go. Mm-hmm. But you don't necessarily replace him with the right person. And that's fine. And then you get rid of that person and keep trying to replace him with the right person. But this idea, this revisionist, what would the Patriots' record be with Bill Belichick? They'd be 8-3. Get the hell out of here with that stupidity. The roster
would be 9-3.
No, I don't think it would be. I think it'd be pretty bad still. Pretty, pretty bad.
Pretty bad. Yeah, but you know, those people are going to stand on that hill. They'll believe what they believe as well.
Well, they can die on it for all I care.
Wow. And with winter coming to it, that would be
chilly.
A cruel punishment indeed.
With this wind, the wind chill.
One more call, but yeah, winter. By the way, that little surprise summer that we got from like the end of September through early November, which was quite delightful, although it did bring about extreme drought conditions, which will soon be supplemented by the coming rains of late November. And it is hard to hold a candle in those, by the way. I would just like to shut up. You enjoyed it.
I'm just shaking my head. I didn't say anything.
Use Your Illusion 1 or 2. Which is the better album?
I don't know.
2. The answer. The only correct answer is 2.
Do you think I know those things?
I'm just, whatever. People like talking about
music,
rock
knowledge
music.
On a thimble.
617-779-7937. Call in with your favorite Guns N' Roses album or which Usher Illusion album you prefer. One call before the break because we deserve to let this man go about his Monday a bit more jovially.
G'day, mate.
It's Jake in Australia.
G'day, g'day, g'day. How are we all going?
Oh,
well,
great.
Honestly, the game kind of blew.
Yeah, look, that was real hard to wake up to say the least.
Mm. Yeah, you're a bit of a masochist, Jake, right? Because you start your Mondays off with these terrible games. Why don't you just call us next week?
Usually,
go ahead, bud.
We might try that. We'll see how that goes, eh?
I was going to say, why don't you skip the game next week, then call into the post-game show.
Yeah.
We'll give you the crib notes, save you 3 hours of your life.
Oh, sounds good. And then I can hear people like, what was old mate at the start in his country, beautiful country song.
Oh, that was good. Yeah.
It was very good,
Eric,
wasn't it? What's your biggest concern now about the team, Jake?
Who do you hate more, Mayo or Wolf?
Wolf. I started with 3 platters I wanted 3 heads on. And after settling down a bit, now it's only 1 platter, and that's Wolf.
Oof, I agree.
We've come into the season with absolutely no goes. And then revisionist history. I believe at the start of the season, or when Mayo got put in as coach, he said this is a 2-year experience. Like, it's going to be 2 years before anything happens. Well, why is it 2 years? Like, what? Obviously, there's something happening in the backdoor area, and we're being told one thing and something else is happening we can't see or hear.
Yeah, it's a mess to say the least, Jake. I can't tell you aside from maybe Christian Barmore starting to round back into shape and Drake May continuing to look like the prospect that they nailed, what you can look towards as a North Star or something to pin your hopes to. But let's just do this next week because you're such a loyal diehard fan and it's so difficult for you to have to wake up early on a Monday and start your day with such a frustrating experience. Though we love the diehard, loyal, committed fan approach. Next week, don't watch the game. Call in, and we'll give you the cheat sheet. And that way, if they win, you have to go back to watch. You know, we'll figure something out. But you take it easy down there, okay? And is there any sort of what happens? I'm just naturally curious. I'm just going to go ahead and ask a silly question. No. Obviously, we do Thanksgiving up this way. Is there an equivalent to Thanksgiving in Australia?
I don't think so.
No,
I was actually thinking about that last week. I don't think we have anything close to it. It's usually just summer comes around and there's barbecue and beers everywhere, and that's everyone having a good time. And we're sort of all thankful for that. So that's the closest I can get is summer.
Right. Okay,
you
fair enough.
Ungrateful heathens.
Yeah, with your beautiful tropical you prison island. Jake, thanks for calling in as always, buddy. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you, okay?
Thanks, guys. You too.
Now, see, there's something I can give thanks for, Andy. Summer coming around, and then just there being beers, babes, bros, and barbecues everywhere.
Wow, yeah, but we kind of do that, too. We do, like, Memorial Day kicks off summer, and then you get, like, 4th of July.
I have to freaking work all those days. Now you won't have to because you're part of the regular 6A to 6P staff.
You're damn right. The afternoon show. Yes, lovey.
How many ways can I get hosed at this house? All right, Jake's line is open at 617-779-7937. If you would like to jump in and talk about your New England Patriots. Andy, you had another tease that you wanted to pay off later on in the program. Oh, the thumbs up and thumbs down. Well, Let's get to the miracle
I pulled off by coming up with three thumbs up.
You know what? Let's get to it earlier because a lot of times we end up going off on these tangents and then we have to rush the Cards for Kids player of the game and we got the thumbs up just becomes a quick race through of the positives. Let's try to actually divine a few true positives from today's game. Something people can latch onto, look forward to, and wholly embrace over these final five games. In a light, jovial locker room following a loss. Oh, boy. Hey, at least Mike McDaniel said, quote, Drake May is a guy that honestly I'm not really rooting for his development because he's in the division, but I can appreciate the player. They got a very good player to work with at that position. We'll continue to have to be on our stuff. So, you know, the head comic down there in Miami who's got a pretty talented football team thinks he's good, so we got that going for us, which is nice.
Yeah, which glasses did he have postgame? Did you notice they were different? He's always got different glasses on.
Do you like him better with the shorter hair or the longer hair?
I think longer.
Yeah?
Not for me. But
can we not like him, period?
I don't really like him. He annoys me. I think he's a dink.
He made the dinks up list?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely on the dinks up list. A little arrogance to him, but whatever. To each his own.
I can't do the tracksuit, people. 617-779-7937 is the number. Thumbs up, thumbs down, and so much more when we come back. Getting near that home stretch here on the Six Rings Postgame Show with Fitzy and Hart live on EEI.